According to the well-known proverb, curiosity killed the cat. If curiosity takes hold of our mind, curiosity can bring about our downfall. This is what happened to the first woman, Eve, in the garden. She became curious about the fruit. It looked so delightful to behold. Eve's curiosity then opened the door through which the serpent tempted her. Her curiosity resulted in the disobedience of sin. Today, Jesus warns us in the gospel about those seven vicious demons who represent the seven capital sins. Indeed, curiosity is capable of opening up the door of our soul to these demons. Indeed, temptations of envy, lust, greed, and others will dominate those people who are overly curious. Today, we must learn to dominate our curiosity before curiosity dominates us. And St. Thomas Aquinas, one of our patrons, will be our guide in this endeavor. Aquinas tells us that just like our bodies have an appetite for food, if I see a chocolate chip cookie, I will reach for it. Well, so does our soul have a natural appetite for knowledge. The human mind searches for the knowledge it desires. Knowledge is food for the appetite of our mind. Now, all appetites must be under the control of human reason. I must control my desire to eat chocolate chip cookies. I can eat a few, but if I eat more than I know I should, I can get a stomach ache. I can become overweight and unhealthy. In the same way, we must control our appetite for knowledge by regular acts of self-control. These repetitive acts form a good habit for our mind. And St. Thomas calls this good habit the virtue of studiousness, or it could also be called the virtue of diligence. Studiousness or diligence is moderation. Moderation and our desire to know. Diligence is a sort of temperance for the mind which keeps our mind healthy. And just like the virtue of temperance keeps me from getting sick on too many cookies, so does the virtue of diligence prevent me from an excessive desire for knowledge which may be harmful. It's not my business to know everything about everyone. Overloading myself with useless information will make my mind obese and overweight. Such gluttony in the desire to know is called curiosity. Indeed, curiosity is a stomach ache of the mind. Curiosity is mental obesity, which harms the health of our soul. Now, there can be a good form of curiosity. And this type of good curiosity, we prefer to call it more appropriately, wonderment. For example, the beauty of nature causes wonder. And this wonderment moves us to learn more about nature for the good of humanity. But if we have an excessive desire for knowledge, which goes beyond reasonable limits, then we can have the vice which St. Thomas calls curiosity. For example, someone may seek knowledge from evil and unlawful sources, such as from a fortune teller, who obtains such knowledge through means which are demonic. This is a superstitious curiosity and a sin against faith. Or someone may seek knowledge out of pride and vanity, to show off. Curiosity can make us boastful know-it-alls. Or someone may seek to know things about other people, but in order to criticize them, in order to look down upon them, in order to have some kind of self-justification. Or another dangerous and somewhat subtle form of curiosity occurs when a person seeks useless knowledge while wasting time and wasting effort, which should rather be spent in learning things which he really needs to know. And in this way, curiosity leads us to negligence. Negligence is that type of ignorance which disregards knowledge which is truly essential. Negligence in matters of faith means that we do not learn the catechism and the doctrine of the church, because curiosity has ruined our mental appetites on useless distractions. Negligence can also occur in our employment or work. We do not truly put our mind to the task. We do not make the honest effort to work as much as our employer has the right to expect. So this negligence is a type of injustice. And then there is negligence of our children and family life. We overlook the particular needs of a child or family member because we are needlessly distractive and inattentive. In this way, curiosity can lead us to many sins of omission. And when was the last time that we really thought about our sins of omission? If we spend hours entertaining ourselves on social media, and those minutes rack up rather quickly, don't they? If we get bogged down in screen time, which is petty and irrelevant to the detriment of our daily duties. If we waste the day away with chatter and pointless conversations and in daydreaming while overlooking our priorities, well then, we may perhaps have a rude awakening in the day of judgment, when God will call us out for our negligence, and he will say to us, "What did you do with the many years of time which I gave you?" And that day of judgment, God will ask us, "How did you take care of the souls which I had entrusted to your care? Why did you not make use of the grace which I made available to you in such abundance?" Indeed, in that day of judgment, there will be no excuse for negligence, which results from our idle and self-absorbed curiosity. Thankfully, the season of Lent offers us a second chance. As we fast from food for our body, let us spiritually fast from curiosity. Let's overcome the mental gluttony of curiosity, which has made our minds obese and out of shape. In order to control and to moderate the appetite of our mind, a good and honest examination of conscience is necessary. What are the things in my life which I really need to focus on for the salvation of my soul? What do I really need to do for the salvation of those who depend upon me? Which are the things that are vain and superfluous in my life? Lent is the time for spiritual spring cleaning in the closets and the cupboards of our mind. Let's get rid of all that mental clutter, all those needless distractions. We will feel so much better if we do. Let's throw out all those frivolous vanities and the illusions we like to make about ourselves. Let's forget all those damaging thoughts about our neighbor. Let go of all those grudges that we hold on to in our minds. And let's make room for knowledge which is truly good and beautiful. Let's seek out ways to acquire the virtuous habit of diligence. Each day we should be exercising our mind in some way, because the moment we stop learning is the moment we stop loving. Without true diligence of mind in seeking knowledge, there could be no lasting love of God and neighbor. So Lent is a time for us to be mentally diligent. Let's learn to know Christ by reading those daily gospels which the liturgy of Lent offers us each day at Mass. Make your missal your bedside book. And if you can't make it to church, pick up your missal and read and appreciate the beauty of those daily gospels. Be diligent. Memorize each one of the stations of the cross, each one of the seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother. And as you learn more about how much Jesus and Mary suffered for you, you will also be better able to bear with your own sufferings. Praying just one station every day will help you to carry your cross with more patience, with more strength, and even with a little bit more joy and good cheer. Be diligent. Learn to give at least a simple explanation of our faith to someone who asks you. Learn to explain the faith simply to a child in a very down-to-earth way. We must all be ready to defend our Catholic beliefs if someone would challenge us. Tune in to that Institute podcast page. Listen to a sermon on your way into work in the car, or as you're doing some work with your hands around the house. Tune in. A little spoonful of spirituality will give you that much strength, joy, and good cheer to do your daily duties and to make them seem less routine. So this Lent, keep your mind focused. Use the abundant opportunities for grace which are at your fingertips. Make the extra effort to attend Mass on some weekdays. Be regular in making your confession. And before each confession, take a few extra minutes to have a deeper contrition for your faults. Look more attentively at the beautiful stations of the cross here before you walk into the confessional. And after walking out of the confessional, spend a few extra minutes in thanksgiving and in gratitude for that enormous debt of sin which was paid for you by the precious blood of Jesus applied to your soul in that confession. Indeed, if you spent more time in gratitude after confession, you would find that you have less sins to confess the next time you go to the sacrament. So grow in gratitude. Also, this Lent, be intentional about your morning prayer. Try to anticipate the coming challenges of that day. Offer them up ahead of time in prayer, and you will be that much more successful in accomplishing God's will that day because you will have prayed that morning. Perhaps this Lent, you can add in the Angelus prayer along with your family mealtime prayer. This Lent, you can make room to pray the rosary earlier in the day rather than trying to fit it in just before bedtime when you're falling asleep. Put away the screen time and pick up a good book for spiritual reading. Just a few minutes. A little bit of spiritual reading carries you a very long way if you are consistent. Go back to the basics this Lent. Revisit your catechism or a book of apologetics. Let's not be carried away by the mental gluttony of vain curiosity. And let's beware of negligence and sins of omission. But let's be diligent this Lent so that our minds can be in good shape to love God and neighbor with renewed fervor and steadfast dedication. And thus you will avoid that unfortunate end which happened to the poor proverbial feline. But as you learn to dominate your curiosity will not be able to dominate you. And the more good things that you learn in this life, the more joy you will have each day, and the everlasting happiness you will have in the heavenly life of the world to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.